This is Jay Sekulow from Washington, D.C. Major developments on the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, as you may know, last night was a busy media night for me. I was on with Chris Cuomo on CNN for 30 minutes, then went over to Fox News and was on Shannon Bream's broadcast, all focusing on a variety of issues, but a lot of it obviously on the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to be a Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States. We thought we would get into this. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Now, look. Let me give you what this is, and what I've been saying and what I continue to say is that we have to respect the constitutional process that's in play when a Supreme Court nominee is made. So what do I mean by that? The Constitution of the United States says that the president has the authority to nominate judges to the Supreme Court. It doesn't even say justices. It actually uses the term judges to the Supreme Court of the United States and inferior courts as well. That's the role of the president. So the president gets to nominate. Put someone's name forward. The president did that. That's Judge Brett Kavanaugh. The Senate has the role of advice and consent. That is not a rubber stamp. That is a process. The Senate has investigative capability. They're allowed to put witnesses under oath to be cross-examined. Those witnesses are given an opportunity to be heard. Dr. Ford has made an allegation, a serious allegation against Judge Kavanaugh. She has the right to be heard. And so does Brett Kavanaugh have the right to respond. What you have to see in a situation like this is that we have to rely on the Constitution. This is not a probable cause hearing. This is not a trial of the allegations. It's a veracity issue. And that's really what's at play here. No one at this point is arguing about Judge Kavanaugh's judicial philosophy. He has 300 published opinions. No one is arguing that he doesn't have the academic or judicial qualifications to serve on the Supreme Court of the United States. He has received the highest rating from the American Bar Association, well qualified. The only issue that is left right now in this matter is an allegation against him personally that came at the 11th hour that he may have to respond to. And I say may have to respond to because the question is, will Judge Kavanaugh's accuser, Dr. Ford, show up for the hearing? And that we still do not know. But, Jordan, I think it's important for everybody to understand the framework here before we get into the specifics of exactly what the Constitution requires. When I was on with Cuomo last night, I went through that extensively. I mean, everyone is ignoring what the Constitution says here, and we're not going to ignore it on this broadcast.
No, it is the Senate's job. I mean, this is ultimately a specific job of the U.S. Senate, identified in the Constitution in Article 2, that it is up to them to make these decisions about moving a nominee forward and ultimately giving these nominees lifetime appointments. In this case, it'd be to the highest court in the land. It is the U.S. Senate. Now, they rely on factors. They get background reports. They get background checks on individuals. But this is a test of two things. One, do they have the fitness and character? They get to determine that in the U.S. Senate. Though there's no more filibuster on these nominees, there's still an up or down vote and a very divided U.S. Senate right now. So very close votes that everyone expects. And by the way, we already have a lot of senators who made up their mind about this a long time ago. But then second, so you look at the character, you look at the judicial philosophy as well. Character is supposed to be kind of check one. And that's why I think some of these senators have said they're very suspect, because to get to judicial philosophy, you should be first getting past the character check. And this is kind of flipping this around because of the timing that was decided by Democrats like Dianne Feinstein about when to put this information out. It was after judicial philosophy was analyzed by the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee.
All right, we're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We want to know your opinion on this. What do you think should happen? What should the Senate do? I want to get your thoughts on it. I think it's good to hear from the American people on this. Again, 1-800-684-3110. I don't know if we're going to go to a video in the next segment. We got some great video ahead on some of my appearance from last night. Was quite a joust. But again, we'll take your calls, 800-684-3110.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So remember, a letter came in to Dianne Feinstein on July 30th with an allegation from a constituent of hers in California. We now know it's Dr. Ford, alleging physical and sexual assault by Brett Kavanaugh while they were in high school students in the 1980s. That has now reached the point where there may be an additional hearing. It's already scheduled for next Monday. Brett Kavanaugh has agreed to appear. Dr. Ford, as lawyer, who's advising her, has first said she would appear, then is saying there'll be conditions as to whether she appears or not. And look, I'm not challenging the lawyers giving legal advice here. I think it's important to give legal advice. But let's talk about process here first. I want to go to Than Bennett, our Director of Governmental Affairs, and then get your sense of where things are right now.
Well, it really is a process question right now because, Jay, today was supposed to be the day that the committee took the vote. But when this allegation came forward, to Chairman Grassley's great credit, he took it very seriously. And what the accuser was asking for was an opportunity to come before the committee and testify and tell her story. That was on Monday, Jay. There were multiple outlets, one of which was NBC. The attorney asking for an opportunity to come before the committee. Chairman Grassley scheduled that process, Jay. It's currently scheduled right now for Monday at 10 a.m. He has invited both Dr. Ford and Brett Kavanaugh to attend. Brett Kavanaugh has accepted. He is planning to be there to give a statement and answer questions from the senators. We don't yet know about Dr. Ford. She, at this point, says that she does not want to testify before there's an FBI investigation. But again, just on process, Jay, you can argue for, you know, pro-FBI investigation or no FBI investigation. But the process on this, they did complete a background check, and they also got this information and added it to the file.
I think it's important to understand what an FBI investigation is here.
Yep.
The allegations that Dr. Ford has made, serious, and they are serious, are not federal crimes. It would be criminal conduct, possibly, under state law. I mean, certainly, if you took her allegations as truthful, it certainly would be. But those aren't federal investigations. They're not investigating a crime. They're investigating, this would be a supplemental investigation to a character report. Now, that forgets the fact, and a lot of people are overlooking this, that the Senate has investigative authority, can call witnesses, has investigators on staff, and can move a matter like this forward very expeditiously. People are forgetting that, Dan.
And the investigators have actually already questioned Brett Kavanaugh on this, and they've offered a number of opportunities to Dr. Ford. They said, look, we can do this in a public session. We can do it in closed session. Jay, the most recent offer was, if you want us to fly out to California and do it at a place where we don't disclose it to the media and it's all confidential, we're willing to do that as well. One thing that does trouble me, though, Jay, in order for this to be serious, you have to have the participation of both sides. At this point,
oh, no, you can't have a hearing. You're right. You cannot have a hearing if it's just Brett Kavanaugh defending himself from allegations with no witness.
On that
or
point,
an accuser.
But you also have to have the majority and the minority with the same access to evidence and participating
sure.
in it. Right now, the majority does not have the original letter from the accuser. And in all of those options I just laid out, an open hearing, a closed hearing, or flying to California to do but what is essentially a deposition, the minority on the committee, even though they brought this evidence forward, Jay, they've not agreed to participate in any of those options.
Jordan, I mean, I'll ask Harry Hutchison a question in a moment. We're taking your calls also at 800-684-3110. We've been through a number of these. Where do you set? What's your sense of where it is right now? I'll give you my Washington approach on this shortly, but I want to get where you see it politically.
I think that, listen, we're in a very critical 24, 36 hours for this nomination, and it either will move forward and this will kind of be an afterthought, or we're going to see a full-on Washington, the kind of hearings about this. We have a Facebook a question coming in. And it asked, does Judge Kavanaugh have the right to respond? And of course, if Dr. Ford does show up, yes, I mean, the part of this hearing will be a response. Now, is it behind closed doors? Is it by deposition? I mean, there's so many different offers on the table right now. And we know that there's at least another 20 hours or so until Dr. Ford can respond to the Judiciary Committee. And even that is kind of, again, I think that there's probably wiggle room there if there's I'll do this but not this, and so they've opened the door. So I agree with the senators and the majority party who have said, you know, put some time frames around this. I think that was very important, not let this hang out there and take it on themselves. Their staff, they'll handle that. They'll do the investigation part because they are the ones that casting the vote for this lifetime appointment to say if this person should be on the court, not any other law enforcement agencies, especially federal ones that would just be, again, supplementing reports on individuals, which they've already done in this matter.
Well, that's just as I said, that's just FBI just does background checks. So, I mean, they could do it. I mean, it's not like there's no, somebody could order it to be done, but I think it's important for everyone to understand that the Senate has an investigative capability into the subpoena power included. So they could they could subpoena Brett Kavanaugh and Dr. Ford and witnesses if they so chose. Right now we're at a bit of a standoff. We don't know exactly how it's going to play out. What is your sense from talking to Senate staffers on the Hill as to what – I mean, I've had conversations with senators today about this to try to get a sense of where things are, and I'll give that in a moment.
Yeah. They're preparing for as if there's going to be a hearing, Jay, but I don't think there's a lot of confidence that Dr. Ford wants to come forward. But let me tell you this. These are hard allegations to talk about. So it's appropriate that they have provided her with a range of options with which to bring her story forward. And I think my sense is this, Jay. If everyone on the committee is trying to pursue the veracity of these claims, and I would start with the ranking member, Dianne Feinstein, then I think there will be a hearing on Monday because that would be the opportunity to test the veracity of the claims. Jay, if it's a political tool, and I'm not saying that it is, but if it's a political tool and there's not a desire to test the veracity, well, then I would suspect that probably she won't show up, and then ultimately there might have to be a vote without her testimony.
Well, then one of the issues is going to be, is it going to be Monday? They're saying Monday, yeah. And what if the lawyer for Dr. Ford comes out and say, I need till Wednesday? You know what? That's a question the Senate has to decide. I don't think, by the way, I think the lawyer has the right to raise all of these issues. I want to be clear on this. I've known Brett Kavanaugh for a long time. He's a man of tremendous wisdom. He's a brilliant lawyer and a brilliant judge. And he needs to be able to defend his integrity from charges that have been made against him. Now, if these charges actually come out in a proceeding where the witnesses show up, that takes it to another level of seriousness. You cannot expect Judge Kavanaugh to participate in a proceeding when he's the only one speaking. So what needs to happen here, I think, for full transparency for all sides to be a fair opportunity to be heard, is for Dr. Ford, whatever her lawyer – look, if I was her lawyer, there's a couple of things I'd be advising her and I'd be advising Brett Kavanaugh. And I'm going to lay some of that out right now. If I was their lawyers, the first thing I would remind both Judge Kavanaugh and Dr. Ford is you will be under oath. It is not a courtroom. It is a Senate hearing. If you lie during that Senate hearing, there are – criminal sanction referrals that can take place. So all of this is under oath. Both sides need to know that. Number two, the Senate has investigative authority. So we have a question in from Tommy on Facebook. Is this even under the FBI jurisdiction? Why are they demanding an FBI investigation? The allegation set forth here would be a crime under state law. The FBI wouldn't have the authority to investigate the crime. But they can determine background checks. That background check has already been done. Can they supplement it? Can they add additional information to it? That's going to depend on what the Senate decides they want to recommend. And that's where the Senate, you can't ignore the Senate role here. But both parties are going to be under oath. Both parties are subject to investigation and cross-examination by senators from both parties. And it is ultimately the advice and consent role of the United States senators that will determine whether Brett Kavanaugh's nomination moves forward. Now, having said all of that, if Dr. Ford attends, whether it's on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever the reasonable time frame is here, then there will be a hearing. If there is no accusation coming forward in a formal judicial setting, or a legislative setting, I should say, here, well, then you can't expect Judge Kavanaugh to respond to an allegation that has not been under oath. That would be inappropriate. That would be the advice I'd be giving both sides of this. And Jordan, that's how I see it.
Yeah, and he did an initial response to this the accusation. So he's denied this vigorously, said he wasn't there, doesn't know. I mean, so pretty specific, actually, in writing. You don't go further than that if there is no hearing. I mean, if the no hearing happens, if this ultimately from this attorney is just stalling tactics ultimately and will not ever appear, and we're also talking about appearing behind closed doors, so not as much of a media spectacle as I think the media in some senses would like.
Well, they've offered that opportunity. Yeah. She could
they've
do it behind closed doors. That's up to her.
They'll even fly to her and do this out west and you know behind closed doors again. Then I think the question is, Judge Kavanaugh would respond also behind closed doors to those Senate. I don't think it becomes a public hearing unless that's all. It seems like that's now kind of in the court of Dr. Ford. Initially,
now, I
that was the indication.
Lawyers are going to respond some tonight.
Yeah, I mean, remember the initial indication from the lawyers was she wants to go public with this. So that's why I think everybody started talking about the public hearing when, in fact, most of this is done for these hearings. It's done behind closed doors. It's the judicial philosophy part that we see publicly. That is, again, it's really part two. We got very far along in this nomination before Senator Feinstein decided to put information out. She has admitted she doesn't know if it's true or not.
No question on judicial qualifications from judicial philosophy from prior cases. The issue now is an allegation. And that is the allegation, Dan, very quickly here, we got less than 30 seconds, that the Senate is going to inquire on if the accuser comes forward.
Well, the committee wants to hear from Dr. Ford on it, Jay. They do, and they want to hear from her in any way that she's comfortable with. Now the only question is whether or not she actually wants to provide them with that information.
Yeah, and that is going to be, again, her lawyers are giving her advice on that, I'm sure. All right, we're taking your calls on this, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We've got a lot more ahead. I think we also got some video for you. Boy, a live interview, 30 minutes yesterday with Chris Cuomo. No commercial breaks. We're playing some of that for you during the breaks here.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back. So we now know that there's a proposed hearing Monday on the, it's a secondary hearing for Judge Kavanaugh, and this is because of the allegations made by Dr. Ford that she has put forward alleging abuse and sexual assault when Brett and both of them were in high school. Now, you take these allegations seriously, as you should, and there's a process that's going forward, and that's what we've been talking about. How should this be handled? Our director of policy, Harry Hutchinson, is joining us now from our media center. And Professor Hutchinson, how do you view the situation right now, in your opinion?
Jay, number one, we should follow the Constitution meticulously. Under the Constitution, the United States Senate is vested with the authority to provide advice and consent for all Article III judges. Fairness requires that we follow the Constitution at the end of the day. We need to be fair to the accuser and fair to the nominee as well. In my opinion, the accuser ought to be given the opportunity to have a fair hearing, either in private or in public. But fairness does not mean that the hearing should be delayed indefinitely. So the Senate should have a process. As I understand it, they have a plan to allow the accuser to bring forth her charges, either in public or in private, and then the nominee will have a chance to respond. We should take all of these accusations seriously, but we should also take the nominee's response seriously as well.
Let me go to Stuart Roth, senior counsel for the ACLJ. Get your view. You've been up here in Washington. We've been talking to members of the Senate.
Well, I agree with Harry. Listen, due process. We're talking about due process. That is so important. This is a Supreme Court nominee, so due process is front and center. Everybody needs to be heard. If it's under oath, it's under oath. In this world, Jay, everything gets out in the media, whether it's newspaper, internet, and one fact starts blossoming and growing, and nobody knows what the truth is. We need to get to the truth of this and then have the vote. Get the matter resolved, but due process is important for both parties.
Jordan, one of the things that we'll take a call in a moment here, but one of the things that have come up in all of this is that Senator Feinstein had this letter since July.
Yeah, July 30th. That this professor's met with a congresswoman in California as well. I mean, so in a sense, coming forward, then not coming forward, I tip lines to the Washington Post anonymously. But this information, again, Dianne Feinstein had it, never brought it up privately, didn't bring this information, could have done so, could have made this really hurdle one. This would have been hurdle one. I think this is very important that the character test and the fitness test of this before you get to judicial philosophy is the first hurdle. And this could have been that hurdle. But instead, even she has said there was not enough information to know if this is credible, doesn't know if it's true or not. That's her excuse. I say that because it does seem that way for not bringing it up and then waiting until this confirmation was a done deal. It was over. Votes were going to come out pretty much party line. And then suddenly this leaks out. I mean, there is still an element that this was, we don't know 100% whether this was a leak that was okayed by Dr. Ford or not, but it's certainly being played kind of like it wasn't, that ultimately this somehow came from Senator Feinstein's staff that released this information when it appeared to be a done deal, that Judge Kavanaugh would become Justice Kavanaugh with no real issues. There was not a lot of fanfare over the hearings. In fact, a lot of the Democrats embarrassed themselves. Remember those documents? And we kind of forget about that. There was a pretty bad moments for Senate Democrats in that hearing and not a lot on substance in exchanges with Judge Kavanaugh.
All right, let's do this. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Jordan, let's take a call.
Yeah, Joe in New York on line 5. Joe, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Joe. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. Hi. You know, the thing with Feinstein, you know, she would have to say, you're talking to a mature adult, and she would have to have said to this girl, listen, something has to be released in fairness. And not that her name would be, but just the idea that if he heard there was something out there, he would have time to, whether it's recall, whether it's to see if this is a person he had a history with. It's just a blind side. It's all about stall tactics. And I guarantee I'm right on this, because after the election, it'll be a non-issue.
Well, here's the thing that I think is important to understand. Senator Feinstein, Stewart, could have said, I am now turning this over to the majority, the chairman of the committee, for an investigation before Judge Kavanaugh had his hearing, so that they would have used their investigative resources at the Senate if the accuser would have gone at least to them, not public, but to them. That's what the Senate would have done.
Well, the process here really got circumvented. I mean, she, like Jordan said, and everybody knows, she knew about this for weeks. There was a time and a place it should have been raised. She's been criticized, Jay, even by liberal media sources for the way she has handled this particular issue. Dianne Feinstein. So the problem is now is that at the 11th hour, this is raised, and now everybody's scurrying around worrying about due process. Will she or won't she testify on Monday? But this is all because Dianne Feinstein blew it.
Yeah. Harry, what's your sense of where this goes next? I mean, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think that your question is very difficult to answer, because we don't know at this particular moment in time whether Dr. Ford will actually accept Senator Grassley's invitation to appear. So I think that's a key question. But assuming she does appear, I think we will have a fair hearing, either in public or in private, and then a vote will be taken. Under the Constitution, the Senate is the ultimate judge of the fitness of the nominee appointed by the president. In this particular case, the Senate must assess whether they think Dr. Ford's allegations are credible enough to disqualify Judge Kavanaugh. I also think in the long term, there will be a time to review some of the conduct engaged in by Senator Feinstein. But at the moment,
I think Harry, here's where I disagree. I think whatever happened with Senator Feinstein, we could look at that politically. I agree with everything you said, but on the political side, yeah, I get it that there was politics involved in it. We should not be shocked. Fact of the matter is, Jordan, we only got a minute and a half here before the end of the first half hour. I mean, the Senate could issue subpoenas here, make everybody testify.
Yeah, that's right. But I think that they're being sensitive to a fact that in this kind of situation, they're giving Dr. Ford every kind of opportunity to talk here. I mean, I think the media is trying to play it too much of if that the only way for her to say yes is by coming forward and having this direct one, like her, he said, she said public moment. And that's not actually the case. They're offering to fly to California. They're off where she lives. They're offering and send the staff there all behind closed doors. So this is not kind of only one option for her. I think that they have given her every option possible. But they're not necessarily in a position where are we going to be a country that forces people to come do this? Because their information was misused by a senator.
But I mean, it's out there. I mean, people could be subpoenaed. I don't think that's the right approach either.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to underscore the fact that the Senate has got
a lot of power.
Got the ultimate role here. At this phase, the first phase of it, it's ultimately the president's. The second phase of it, it's ultimately the Senate's. And that's where it is. All right. We're going to be here for another 30 minutes. If you don't get the whole broadcast, go over to ACLJ.org. We're streaming it there. Facebook or Periscope, it's also there. We're going to take more of your calls and comments when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. If you're on Facebook and Periscope, share it with your friends. Back with more in a moment.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. So a letter sent to Senator Dianne Feinstein on July 30th from a constituent in California alleging sexual assault by the nominee to the Supreme Court, Brett Kavanaugh. That nothing happens with that letter for a period of time. On August 20th, Senator Feinstein meets privately with Judge Kavanaugh. It's reported that she did not raise that allegation with him at that meeting. On September 4th through 7th, the confirmation hearings for Brett Kavanaugh are held by the Senate Judiciary Committee. None of these allegations are raised during the public portion nor the executive portion of the hearing. On September 13th, 1 week before the scheduled committee vote on Judge Kavanaugh's nomination, Senator Feinstein releases a vague statement related to the allegations, saying that she has turned information over to federal investigative authority. As it read, I've received information from an individual concerning the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. That individual strongly requested confidentiality, declined to come forward or press the matter further, and I've honored the decision. I have, however, referred the matter to federal investigative authorities. On September 17th, Deborah Katz, an attorney for Dr. Ford, told NBC on Monday that her client is willing to testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee, saying she's willing to do whatever it takes to get her story forth. On the September 17th, Judge Kavanaugh released a strong statement after the accuser came out, saying this is a completely false allegation. I've never done anything like what the accuser describes to her or anyone else. Because this never happened, I have no idea who was making this accusation until she's identified herself yesterday. I'm willing to talk to the Senate Judiciary Committee in a way the committee deems appropriate to refute these allegations from 36 years ago and defend my integrity. As of today, the hearing is set for Monday, but Than Bennett, Director of Government Affairs, as of right now, as we're on the air live, we do not have an affirmation that Dr. Ford will attend at this point.
Yeah, in fact, the indication is that she will not unless there's been a full-fledged FBI investigation before then, which you've explained why that's not an accurate.
Yeah, the Senate has the authority to do investigations here, folks. That FBI thing is a bit of a it's FBI just background checks.
But so Monday at 10 a.m. is when it's scheduled. There are two witnesses that have been invited, Brett Kavanaugh and Dr. Ford. Brett Kavanaugh has accepted. Dr. Ford has not. And Jay, look, we have said it repeatedly that it's totally understandable why Dr. Ford might have thoughts for or against coming out and testifying in different capacities. But I will tell you this. I've been around these confirmations for a long time, Jay, as you know and as you have as well. There's no excuse for how Senator Feinstein handled this, because in this process, even if you have an allegation from someone who is requesting privacy and that her name not be released, there are so many opportunities to explore those allegations. The private meeting on August 20th, which was weeks after she had the letter. And then, Jay, this is the entire reason that you have a closed session. It happened at the end of the hearing. You have Brett Kavanaugh in front of you, no cameras in the room, no public in the room, and you have an opportunity to discuss things which then you cannot be disclosed to the public. Now, I will say this, with some of the antics we saw from the Democrats on the panel where things were leaking out, maybe that wasn't as closed as you would have liked. But here's my point. There are multiple points in this process where sensitive information can be discussed with the nominee, and yep. Dianne Feinstein did not take an opportunity to do that.
Jordan, if Dr. Ford does not attend the hearing on Monday, Brett Kavanaugh should not be compelled to respond.
I think that his response, he's already done enough.
He should not respond.
He's responded to the initial allegation. She's now had multiple opportunities are on the table for her to explain and tell her story, make her accusation, and to do that publicly, privately, in California, at the Senate Judiciary Committee. Make a spectacle of it in the media, not make a spectacle. I mean, so really every option has been given to Dr. Ford here. I do not like when I hear in the media that somehow she's being pressured and that it's going to be this one-on-one, and how could she out-talk a judge like Judge Kavanaugh, when in fact that's not the option. That's just one of the options is the public side. There's all these other different ways. But if this is as far as it goes, that's it. I mean, it's just...
Well, look, I don't think... Yeah.
And that no more responses, vote should occur.
Yeah, if there is no witness put forward, if the accuser doesn't come forward, of course you shouldn't be responding to a non-verified accusation, at least when I say verified before the proceeding. If the accuser does come forward, I think he's going to be compelled to respond. And then the veracity will be determined by the Senate Judiciary Committee and ultimately by the entire Senate with advice and consent. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to take more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Hey, on Facebook and Periscope or radio audience, call your friends. Tell them to listen in. We've got some great video coming up, and I had a lively 30 minutes yesterday on CNN. So we're going to play some of that video for you coming back from the break in just a moment.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
So none of us have the crystal ball. None of us can predict what happens on Monday. I will tell you this. If there is a hearing, it will be big news, obviously. And it's important for those allegations to be aired publicly so that the or privately, whatever Dr. Ford and her lawyer thinks is appropriate. Now, they'll be under oath, as witnesses will be. And Harry, one of the things we have to understand here is the Senate has, in their legislative capacity, under Article 1, they have investigative authority. They put witnesses under oath. They have investigative authority.
Absolutely. And so one of the issues that has come up, and there hasn't been much discussion of this, but it's the role of the Senate in launching its own investigation. So it has the capacity to do that. And so I think asking the FBI, for instance, to launch an investigation at this point in time is A, inappropriate, and B, this is something the Senate could do on its own. That's number one. Number two, again, I repeat something that I said earlier. We must return to the United States Constitution. The Senate is capable of judging the veracity of the accuser's statement and the nominee's response. After we have heard the testimony, then the Senate can exercise its constitutionally mandated role and decide whether or not Judge Kavanaugh is fit to serve on the United States Supreme Court. So again, we should focus on fairness for the accuser, but also fairness for the nominee. And lastly, sure, we should focus on fairness to the United States Constitution and the American people.
All right, let's go ahead, Jordan. Go back to the phones. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110.
Mark's calling in from North Carolina, online for Mark. Appreciate you holding on. You're on the air with us.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Mark.
I really value your opinion and your perspective on things. Real quick, I've heard some on the right flirting with the idea of saying, what would it hurt to go ahead and have an FBI investigation? And to me, that's like alarm bells going off, because I don't think that the Democrats I think that they're playing that card because they know that they have people on the inside, and not just slow walking things to make it where it would drag the process out. But in the same way as we saw things kind of go and get really drawn out with the FBI investigation of Trump, I'm afraid that we could see something go really sideways with something like that.
Well, look, putting aside your concerns, and I understand them, the FBI could not be investigating this matter as a crime. I think we got to be really clear about this. because this would not be under federal jurisdiction. This would be a state matter. So, and no state prosecutor is going to go back 35 years to try to reconstruct a criminal case here. That would not be realistic. So when you look at all of this and you look at the nature and scope of what it is, that's why it's important, Jordan, for everybody to remember that the Senate has investigative authority here. And they're willing to utilize that and make accommodations, which I think is appropriate for Dr. Ford and for Dr. Ford's family with these allegations.
Every option has been made here because she indicated after this became public that through her attorney right after that, once her attorney began speaking on behalf of her, that she wanted to come public. So all these opportunities have been afforded her, whether to do it publicly in the most kind of public setting in a hearing that would be broadcast, to the most private in the comfort of her own state. I mean, so sending out actually investigators and their teams from the Senate Judiciary Committee to whatever location she wants that would not be, again, in the public eye. So you would not really see much more from her than you've already seen. And ultimately, so, and then every other option in between. So all of the options are there. You mentioned the subpoena power. I don't think because of the way.
Well, I don't think it's also necessary, but I people need to understand that what I was trying to establish with that is that it's not like the Senate doesn't have serious investigative capacity. Yeah. They do.
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting here is that you aren't seeing, and even a subpoena power, and again, it can be behind closed doors. It doesn't have to be you're subpoenaed to go testify publicly on live television. It could be a subpoena because you made these accusations have been made, and we feel like it's information that we have to have to settle this. So there's no cloud, regardless of how the nomination moves forward. But ultimately, I think the way that this has been spun by the left and been politicized is that move would be seen as not right. So I think the Republicans have done what they can here, who in their control of the Judiciary Committee, by giving Dr. Ford every kind of opportunity to tell her story. In various kind of settings. And the question will be, is she unwilling to do so under oath? And if she is unwilling to do so under oath, even in the most private of settings, I think that is it. And this is that, I mean, I don't think that is it. That is it. She will not do this when her own life and the potential for these statements are really mean something in a sense because of the under oath. And if she's as clear as she has been in these other statements, that wouldn't be a big deal. But obviously, again, yeah, but, unwilling you know, to do look, that under oath.
Yeah, but any lawyer, and you know that you're a lawyer, I'm a lawyer, any lawyer is going to be, when they're advising their client, whether it's Dr. Ford or Brett Kavanaugh, are going to remind them the first thing is be truthful because you're under oath. And if you're not truthful to a member of to a Senate committee, then you get in real trouble. You can get in real trouble
under penalty of perjury. It's a felony. And by the way, just to talk about how serious the investigation is, I mean, that interview of Brett Kavanaugh after these allegations came out by the Senate investigators, Jay, that's already happened. He went under oath under penalty of perjury and answered their questions about this. And so now they are trying to complete that investigation. This goes back to Harry's point. I mean, people really have to understand here that the Senate Judiciary Committee has already launched an investigation into this allegation. They're trying to finish it now by getting the sworn testimony under oath of the victim. And, you know, Jordan laid out all of the options that have been provided to her. The reason that there's a hearing scheduled at 10 o'clock on Monday, Jay, that's not the only option that was afforded to her. The reason they scheduled that is because that's the one her attorney requested. So if her attorney came back and requested a different format, they would change it.
Yeah, you think so?
I absolutely do. In fact, the letter from Senator Grassley, Chairman Grassley, said exactly that. Said, we'll make it a private session if you want it. If you want us to fly to California, we'll do that. We want to hear Dr. Ford's story in whatever way she's comfortable telling it.
All right, let's go ahead and take another phone call here at 800-684-3110.
Patty's calling in from Pennsylvania on line 3. Patty, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Patty.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate everything
sure.
that you guys all do. Question. Is there any type of time limit that somebody can bring an allegation during this, this process?
Well, that's a great question. So, look, there are statute of limitations in criminal cases. Sometimes it's 3 years, sometimes it's 6 years, sometimes it's 10 years. But as to a time limit or a statute of limitations as it relates to an investigation on a nominee, not really. I mean, there's not anything in the law that requires a time limit, Harry. The Senate, under the Constitution, also gets to set its own rules on investigative process.
Absolutely. But I also think it's important to know that under the Constitution, the Senate gives its advice and consent. The Senate has engaged already in a very lengthy process. Judge Kavanaugh has testified for more than 30 hours before the United States Senate. The Senate has asked almost 1,300 additional written questions, and he has responded to those questions. The nominee is prepared to respond to the allegations if the accuser comes forward. So I think what we have is a process that has been set up that is fair, that is open, and it's also fair to the accuser. She can testify in private if that's her preference, and her lawyer has indicated that she wanted to testify. So I think what the Senate has done so far is consistent with elementary notions of fairness, and it's consistent with their constitutional role. I'm not sure what else the Senate can do at this particular point in time.
You know, Jordan, as we go into a break here, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. But there's political theater here, too. I mean, that's part on both sides. There is, and everybody could be looking for the big drama on Monday. I mean, this could be a big thing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if this is a public hearing that is broadcast, which is, again, kind of where the media is focused, I mean, they're kind of interested on if that happens or not. Because that would be, again, it takes this nomination. I think it kind of puts it back in almost like a day one scenario. Now, then you start looking at how does it all turn out. You have no idea at this point exactly. I think that you kind of know what people would say, but questioning how people respond. I mean, it's all speculation at this point. Will it ever happen, I think, is in serious doubt right now in that public kind of setting. Again, different than where we were 36 hours ago.
I will not be shocked if on Monday Dr. Ford is there to give testimony. I will not be shocked on Monday if Dr. Ford is not there on Monday. I think we'll know that either tomorrow or Monday. Her lawyer, I'm sure, is reviewing the situation and may have additional requests to the United States Senate. All right, coming back for the last segment, you can ask us a question about any topic, 1-800-684-3110. We've got another video coming up. Again, share this with your friends. We encourage you to do that. Again, if you want to talk to us on air, it's 1-800-684-3110. And again, stay tuned and engage with us at aclj.org.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. Everyone, we're going right to your phones because the last segment, Stuart Roth again joining us in the studio. Harry Hutchinson is in our media center with Jordan. Let's go right to it, Jordan.
Yeah, right to the phones we go. We'll go to George in Michigan on line one. George, thanks for holding on to be with us. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I've been listening to the previous caller about whether or not there should be an FBI investigation, and I think we all know that that should not be the case because they don't have jurisdiction. The Maryland State Police should be doing this if they decide to do it. But I believe there goes to another question as to whether or not she should be testifying in private. I don't agree with that because the Sixth Amendment guarantees us the right to confront our accusers. And she has accused him in public.
But George, this is not a, George, let me just jump in here. This is not a judicial proceeding. So you're right under the Constitution in a judicial proceeding. But this isn't a judicial proceeding. It's a legislative proceeding. Therefore, the Senate, under the Constitution, is allowed to set its rules as to its hearings, and it can do hearings, Stuart, in closed-door session.
Well, absolutely. This is fact-finding, and so those jurisdictional issues don't apply. It's a good question, but just don't apply.
Yeah. Go ahead, George. Did you want to finish?
Fair enough. No. I mean, I think everybody is outraged at Feinstein, Senator Feinstein right now and what's going on.
Well, she sat on this thing. You're right. She sat on this thing for 6 weeks. She had she had Brett Kavanaugh in her office on 20 days. 20 days after she got this letter, she had Brett Kavanaugh in her office and said nothing. So there you have it. All right, let's go ahead and take another call.
Yeah. Let's go to Robert in Florida on line five. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello.
Hi, Robert.
Yeah, I've got...
Yep.
I've got two quick questions. One of them is in a Senate hearing like we're about to have, possibly, and the witness is being under oath. Can a witness decline to answer a question based upon the Fifth Amendment?
Okay, let's stop with that question first because that's a really great question. And the answer to that is yes. Your right against self-incrimination would apply in a legislative hearing, Jordan, in a Senate proceeding.
Yeah, I mean, you do have the Fifth Amendment rights there. I mean, usually it's taken very broadly to the entire interview itself. Now, in this situation, if you're talking about Judge Kavanaugh, he's already waived that by commenting on this. Dr. Ford, right. If that was to be the case, this would be over. That would be it. So there would be real ramifications past just the personal protection of the Fifth Amendment. But what that would mean for a judiciary committee, because this is not going to a jury and, oh, you're not supposed to actually take that into account.
No,
this is going to our elected officials who are making a call based off decisions like that. So if someone was to take the Fifth and not just and decide, or if someone says, I will, under none of the circumstances you've allowed me and offered me, testify, they can vote based off that, make a decision based off that. They're not supposed to say, you know, they're not, you know, not self-incriminating in a sense, because this is a person accusing and then saying, oh, you know, I'm not going to do this under any of these different options if that to be the case. I would also like to know if this happens in any way under oath, behind doors or not. I think one of the questions that has to go to Dr. Ford is, did you really tell Dianne Feinstein's office that this that you didn't want this to be public, or did you coordinate with him? Because the lawyer that's involved is obviously very high profile as well, and it's a bit suspicious. And under oath, that would be an interesting question to get.
Well, and from a practical standpoint, if Judge Kavanaugh took the Fifth, I doubt he would be getting confirmed. And so that would be the problem.
Yeah, no question that's not reality. I want to play a comment by David Gergen on CNN, since I was on CNN a lot last night. Let's take a listen to it.
I think it's clear now, Anderson, that the Republicans have a point. This should have been brought up earlier in some fashion so that it could be done as part of the regular process and we wouldn't have this very strange, odd episode right now.
Harry Hutchinson, how do you, as our director of policy, what do you think about what David Gergen said?
Well, first, I rarely agree with him, but I certainly agree with him on this particular point. There was a delay in bringing this information forward. Now, we don't know all of the details as to why there was a delay, but it is clear beyond question that Senator Feinstein had in her possession a letter, and she has refused so far, based on published reports, to disclose the full contents of the letter to her colleagues. And so we could have had a Senate investigation 6 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, you name it. There was ample time. That's number one. Number two, Senator Feinstein could have pursued this issue. She had private meetings with the nominee. So there is a problem here, and so I have to agree with David Gergen. I think he's correct.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I think he is too. All right, Jordan, let's grab another call.
Kylie in Arizona online too. Kylie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi,
Kylie. Welcome
to
the broadcast. You're on the air. Sure.
Thank you. I just had a quick question regarding the fact that Dianne Feinstein is refusing to turn over the letter. Why can't the FBI release that letter so that everybody can see what the contents of it are?
Well, look, this raises another question, and people are asking about that, and for good reason, because it seems odd that the letter is not part of the file, Jordan, as this thing's moving forward.
Yeah, and again, some of this may be answered for us the next 24 to, you know, and over the weekend. So 24 hours, I think, you know, we got another working day tomorrow. We have this deadline put out by the Senate Judiciary Committee of a testimony prepared for a public hearing that it would have to be in by 10 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow. And that's their normal kind of processes. We know they're in ongoing discussions with Dr. Ford's attorney. I think ultimately they're likely putting a file together. But I think they've handled it as best they can in the way that this has been brought upon them. And again, I go back to, I really just want to know whether this was really a leak or a planned leak. There's differences between that. And did Dr. Ford have anything to do with it? That wouldn't necessarily, I mean, again, it just goes to the heart of how this came out, because I think that if not, she's been really wronged. And the attorney she chose, the people she's kind of assembled around, did not indicate that. So to me, that's just something, again, it should be brought up and maybe one of the reasons why she doesn't want to go under oath, or they're limiting what kind of questions, like maybe they'll say, oh, we're not going to answer questions like that about how this led to being released. I mean, all those negotiations are likely ongoing.
All right, let's take the last question here from Steve.
Steve in California, line three. Steve, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, hey, guys. Steve. Hey, my question is, if Senator Feinstein sent this out to, quote, investigative authorities and didn't pass it through the, Senator Grassley and the as the chairman of the committee, didn't she just violate the rules of the committee?
Well, that you raised, look, these have been great, Stuart. These have been great questions. Excellent. We only got less than a minute here. But this I think that they should release the letter at least to the committee chairman.
Well, in fairness and in due process, if there is going to be a hearing on Monday, all interested parties need to see that document.
Yeah, the accusation should be reviewed by the parties that are involved in this. Now, the question will be, we'll have more information on this tomorrow. There's obviously issues that are going to develop. Stay engaged with us at ACLJ.org. Make sure you're getting our newsletters, our updates. Make sure you're following us on Twitter and Facebook. Jordan has a page, I have a page, ACLJ has a page. It's a great way to stay engaged on all of these topics. And again, and Jordan, last thing here, you followed these politically for a long time. It isn't over until it's over.
No, it's not. I think that, you know, deadlines change, optics change, decisions can change. We will know a lot. We're going to know again very soon about this. But some people, you know, they could show up day of. I mean,
Right.
And so I think that's what the media is kind of preparing for, and we will see.
All right, everybody, have a great day.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.